As the Lord shall be pleased to help me, I shall call your attention to one sentence in the 17th verse of Psalm 72. And men shall be blessed in him. Psalm 72, 17th verse, and one sentence therein. And men shall be blessed in him. You do not need the preacher to tell you who is the person referred to in the text. You all know that it refers to Jesus Christ, the sinner's friend. And men shall be blessed in him. And I might open up the subject by asking you an all-important question. What think ye of him, of whom it is said men shall be blessed in him? Have you ever desired him to bless you? Have you ever pondered the matter that if you are never blessed in him, you will see him as he is, where he is, and hear him say to you, "Depart from me, ye cursed. I never knew you." And while you dwelt on earth, you had no concern whatever to know me. I never observed you begging a blessing, a Jabez portion, and you lived your life as you were born, after the flesh, the things of the flesh. And now here you are. Be sure your sin will find you out. Very solemn it will be if that should be the lot of any under Union Chapel roof at this time. Oh, the Lord grant in his mercy it may never be so. But I do want you, dear young people, to remember, whatever you may think about him nowadays, do keep in your mind, every eye shall see him. You and I will see him. Every one under Union Chapel roof will see him when time shall be no more. And it will either be, "Come ye blessed," or "Depart ye cursed." There is no alternative. But this is a mercy beyond words to describe, that men should be blessed in him. And the Apostle Paul, when he penned the epistle to the Ephesians, seemed to be almost overwhelmed with the magnitude of the mercy. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus." Men shall be blessed in him. And in opening up the subject, which I desire to do as grace is given, I want to remind you, dear young people, of a word in the Colossians epistle. And it is being fulfilled and will be fulfilled in every jot and tittle of what the declaration tells us, that in all things he might have the preeminence. You, dear young people, are living in the latter days. And in the world at large, hell itself is let loose. All kingdoms beneath the sun are full of uncertainty and unrest. And as you look on it all, you may be dismayed. and you may feel that you are among those people to whom the Savior referred, men's hearts failing them for fear as they see the things which are coming to pass on the earth. But while you look at the world as it appears to you, this wonderful person in our text, men shall be blessed in him, is reigning on his throne, and he is swaying his scepter over all things that are happening in the world at the present time. And while it seems that godless men and the wicked are doing wickedly as never before, God is observant of it all, and he sways his scepter over all things beneath the sun, that he might have the preeminence in what he has purposed to do beneath the sun. Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And every day that great work is going on. Men shall be blessed in him. And when you view the matter aright, think of the name of Jesus. It is the widest known on the earth, and the best loved, and the outstanding name in the world. The name that is above every name. There have been great men in the world's history. For a little while, they have lived their lives on the stage of time, and they have passed off it. Some have left a very unhappy memory behind them, and some, by the grace of God, they come in this category. The memory of the just is blessed, but they live their lives, fill their allotted span of usefulness, and then they are no more beneath the sun. But think of what is happening this Sabbath Eve as you are here in the attitude of worship as you are. There are millions of poor sinners worldwide who are worshipping him, the hymn in our text, because they desire what the text declares. Men shall be blessed in him. And in their worship, they are seeking his divine aid to serve him and follow him. And I hope you have got it in your hearts, many of you, like Jabez of old, "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed." And then think of it from another viewpoint. The printing press never stops printing his books. Men shall be blessed in him. And his books and tracts, of which he is the theme. The printing press is ever on the go, worldwide, sending forth godly literature, speaking well of him, and the purpose that men should be blessed in him. And the voice of his praise is never silent. Every day, tens of thousands of preachers and teachers go forth, often asking no reward, to proclaim him as the sinner's friend. Tens of thousands have suffered for his sake, laying down their lives, or enduring patiently in dungeons, and unnumbered hosts have known the loss of all things for the love of his name, and because they would hold fast his truth. And now, who will come forward in the world at large at the present time to dispute the fact that even now, in the world as it is, such a sin-cursed, sin-troubled world that rejects him, Dear young people, he is still preeminent. Because verily God, verily man, and he sways his scepter over mankind, causing all things to work together for good for his people and for his own glory. Do remember that. And coming back more especially to the subject, and men shall be blessed in him, I want to look at it in a simple way and show how men are blessed in him in 6 viewpoints. And I hope there will be time enough to touch on each viewpoint, using the letter H. And first of all, men shall be blessed in him with a hiding place. A hiding place where their sins cannot find them out. The word of God says, be sure your sin will find you out. And now God, in his mercy, has provided a hiding place, a refuge for sinners. The gospel makes known, 'tis found in the merits of Jesus alone. And the weary, the tempted, and burdened by sin were never exempted from entering therein. And if you, dear young people, are to have matters made right between your soul and God, you must be found in this hiding place that Jesus Christ is to poor sinners, all who have a felt need of him as a refuge, a hiding place. I remember in my late teenage life when God began to deal with me, how very fond I was of one hymn in our own hymn book. Amidst the sorrows of the way, Lord Jesus, teach my soul to pray, and let me taste thy special grace, and run to Christ, my hiding place. And oh, what a blessed hiding place he is. It is set forth in Isaiah, and a man shall be as an hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. And a man. And now, whenever that man is referred to in printing, there is always a capital M to denote that he is more than an ordinary man. And he is. He is verily man. Aye, but he is a holy man. He is this eternal Son of God in his divine nature. Verily God. And he is, blessed be his name, verily man. And he is in heaven as verily God, verily man. There is one God, one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus, a hiding place. And now if God should deal with you, oh that he may be pleased to do so, you will know when you begin to feel what a guilty, hell-deserving sinner you are, that you need a hiding place. And men shall be blessed in him with a hiding place. And one hymn writer says this, to him my only hiding place, let me for shelter fly. The storm of death draws on apace, and who can say how nigh? Oh, but if you and I have the mercy to be sheltered in this hiding place, you will know what it is to be blessed in him for time and eternity too. And you will have a wonderful experience wrought in your soul. The terrors of law and of God with me can have nothing to do. My Saviour's obedience and blood hides all my transgressions from view. Blessed hiding place. And men shall be blessed in him. Are you outside it? Or have you the mercy to be inside it? Do you know what it is to be run into it? If so be, you might know the blessed shelter it affords poor sinners to make matters right between their souls and God and fit them for eternity. And men shall be blessed in him. And now the next H, I can only give you hints on each one, stands for healing. And men shall be blessed in him with healing. In the Word of God, it is set forth that the name of Jesus is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord which healeth. And when Jesus dwelt on earth, he went about doing good, and he delighted in mercy. And the Word of God tells us, and great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. He delighteth in mercy. And every poor sinner who is made to know he is sin sick, which shall know every man the plague of his own heart, he will realize men shall be blessed in him with healing. However great your disease may seem to be, you remember it tells us in Matthew's Gospel of a man, and I like to read about that man. It may be very familiar to you. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. In another gospel, there is an addition. It says that the leper was full of leprosy, not just in one limb or two, but altogether full of leprosy. What a sight it must have been for the people looking on, to see a man full of leprosy, and then to see that man made clean and whole. And now what Jesus Christ did then, although he is in heaven, he can still do it for poor sinners in their felt need of his healing. What though bad is your condition and your wounds you can't endure, Christ the sinner's wise physician will effect a perfect cure, and men shall be blessed in him with healing. And there you will remember, you have often heard about Israel of old, and when Israel sinned against God and fiery serpents were sent to bite them, then God commanded Moses to make a brazen serpent and set it up in the midst of Israel's camp. And it tells us in beautiful language, just what our text tells us, men shall be blessed in him, if any man, when he was bitten, was enabled to look to the serpent of brass. When he looked, he was healed. If any man looked, he lived. And you will remember that Jesus Christ preached his own gospel when he said, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, Even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And that is what all who go forth to labor on Zion's walls and to preach the gospel, whoever they are, wherever they are doing so with divine authority to do it, they are lifting up Jesus Christ in the gospel of his grace and encouraging poor sinners to trust in him. And who can tell but what God will be gracious to you? And what does it mean to feel the equivalent in a spiritual interpretation of being full of leprosy? To be like Isaiah records it, from the sole of the foot even to the head, there is no soundness in it, wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. And to be like Job when he stood before God, behold, I am vile. And yet such a sinner, what did you sing in the afternoon service, many of you? The vilest sinner out of hell who lives to feel his need, he's welcome to the throne of grace, the Saviour's blood to plead. And men shall be blessed in him with healing. And now the third H stands for health. Men shall be blessed in him with health. And that help is afforded at any time, anywhere. But there is this proviso. I will be inquired of by you, O house of Israel, to do these things. And one hymn writer says, when most I need his help in hand, this friend is always near. With heaven and earth at his command, he waits to answer prayer. And this help that Jesus Christ gives when he blesses poor sinners in their felt need of his divine aid is never too late. It is always in time. It may come, as it were, at what seems to you to be the last moment, and like it was in Paul's shipwreck, as you read in the Acts of the Apostles, all hope of being saved was taken away. And yet, they were saved. The help of God was sure. And that help is almighty help. Say not, from whence can God relieve my care? Remember that omnipotence hath servants everywhere. Men shall be blessed in him with help. And some of us who have lived long following on to know the Lord have hundreds of times sent up our petition, Lord, help me. And that help has always been forthcoming. Some of us can say, Ebenezer, and hitherto the Lord hath helped us. And that help comes down to us through what was done for us on Calvary's cross, when this word was ratified. Men shall be blessed in him. And you, dear young people, as you go on in life's journey, wherever your lot in life may be, whatever your circumstances, whatever your case, there is this help to be obtained. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And remember, in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And then, men shall be blessed in him, not only with help at the throne of grace, but there is help to be had in the word of his grace. And I want to read to you what I took off our calendar during the week. And you will find it will be a word in season about this help that men obtain when they're blessed in him. Suppose someone comes to me and says, "You dear young people, listen to this, because this is on purpose for you. That is why I made sure I could have it by me to read to you." Suppose someone comes to me and says, "I've bought you the last book on botany." "Of course you mean the latest book." "No," he says, "the last." And he adds that no other book will ever be written on botany. Well, I should try to be polite, but of course I should not believe him. The last book on any science cannot be written. "Aye, but in the Bible, we have not the latest, but the last word on sin, and on redemption, and on holiness, and on immortality. And this book has been before the world for nearly 2,000 years. There is no chapter to be added to it. It is the last word. What saith the Scriptures?" And by "what saith the Scriptures," you and I will stand or fall. There is wisdom in the Bible that all science cannot know. There are poetry and beauty that will set our hearts aglow. There is glory in the Bible that will brighten all our days, give us help and strength and courage for the roughest earthly ways. Oh, that you may realize that help and find, like the psalmist, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path." Divine instructor, gracious Lord, O be forever near. Help me to read thy sacred word and find my Saviour there. And men shall be blessed in him. And now the next age is one of very great importance. And I do want God to help me to say what is right before him and what will be acceptable to you. The fourth letter, H, stands for holiness. And now what saith the Scriptures? "And without holiness, no man shall see the Lord." Dear young friends, you must remember that heaven is a state as well as a place. And everyone whom God has ordained shall be saved by grace. They have to be made meet for the inheritance of the saints in light. And Moses said to Israel, the only people in Israel that understood it were Israelites indeed. Those who were just Israelites born and not born again heard the words, but could not enter into it or desire it. "Ye shall be a holy people, saith the Lord." Do you want to be holy? And now do let your conscience tell you the truth, as it will do if it is in working order. Do you desire to be holy? Because that is one of the blessings whereby men shall be blessed in him. "And without holiness, no man shall see the Lord." Then you and I must be made holy. And how can that be, seeing how we were born? The carnal mind is enmity against God, is not subject to the law of God, and neither indeed can be. And now, there is that beautiful word in Galatians, Do listen to it. When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his own Son, made of a woman, made under the law. And let us go to Bethlehem and see that great thing which came to pass there. And when we arrive by living faith and enter the stable and see in the manger a little babe, you see what was never seen on earth before, a holy babe. And it has never been seen since. A holy babe. And yet his shoulders held up heaven and earth when Mary held up him. And that dear babe was born a babe by birth mysterious. Never try to reason about it. Just believe it and say thank you to God for it. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, and he was seen as a holy babe. And he lived his life as he grew up in childhood, youth, manhood, to do his great work, love's redeeming work, which he came down on earth to do. And remember this, you dear young people especially, I address these words too. Men shall be blessed in him. And now this man of whom I am trying to tell you a little, he was not like you or the preacher. He never did confess to any fault he had committed. He never said, I'm sorry I said this. Do pardon me because I've done that. No. Holiness permeated him. That holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Yes. And his life was a holy life. He never apologized to anyone beneath the sun. And why? This man hath done nothing amiss, said the dying thief when he was born again, and he spoke the truth. In him the Father never saw the least transgression of his law. In him we then perfection view, and the saints in him are perfect too. And when I was thinking about this holiness, as Jesus lived his life under the law and kept it in every jot and tittle, and at the end of his lovely life he said, it is finished. And in living such a life, a holy life, he had fulfilled the law on behalf of all that vast host, a number which no man can number. God the Father had ordained to life eternal. I hope you and I are included in that vast host. And I thought of a dear godly woman whom I knew and loved too. And she followed on to know the Lord, you're in, you're out. And then the Lord gave her what the text tells us about. And men shall be blessed in him. And I saw her when she was in possession of it. And lest the shadow of a spot should on my soul be found, he took the robe the Saviour wrought and spread it all around. And she was holy by the imputation of the holiness of Jesus Christ in the life he lived. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone which believeth. And his people are referred to as holy brethren, and they are made holy by his holiness. It is imputed to them. And what is more, when they are born again, they have within their breast a holy principle, and sometimes they feel, like one hymn writer says, Jesus' blood for sinner spilt, I depend on solely to release me from my guilt, but I would be holy. I like that confession of Paul's. I often try to make it before God. I would do good, but evil is present with me. Men shall be blessed in him, blessed with holiness, made meet to be the guests of God. The fifth H is happiness. And men shall be blessed in him with happiness. And now, many of you in this assembly can go back over life's journey and call to remembrance when you have felt a little of the happiness whereby men shall be blessed in him. The happiest moments you have ever felt in your life are to do with him. When you have felt, it is good for me to draw near to God. When by the eye of faith you could see Jesus and behold in him the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. When it was born in your breast, for me, O miracle of grace, for me, the Saviour bled. And now let us get down to bedrock. Let us examine ourselves before God where we are. And now you reckon up all the happiness you have known and felt along life's way, worth the name. There is a lawful earthly happiness, but then that is passing and perishing. I said worth the name, and by that I mean happiness that is permanent. We used to have happiness when we were children, dwelling under the home roof. But that was a natural happiness. And we grew up and went forth into the world at large and were scattered here and there. But this happiness whereby men are blessed in him is that which is lasting for time and eternity too. It is not to be found in any earthly source. You cannot find in any earthly source ease for a guilty conscience, a blessing indeed for your troubled mind, and that which will help you to feel your sins are blotted out and to be no more remembered against you. No earthly source whatever can supply you with that happiness, but it comes down from heaven. It is that which a man cannot receive except it be given him from heaven. And Moses said at the end of his wonderful life as Israel's leader, when he was laying down his work, happy art thou, O Israel. Who is like unto thee, O people, saved by the Lord? And now all the happiness worth the name that you and I have known along life's way is to do with our soul's eternal welfare. If God shows you a token for good, if he grants you an answer to prayer, if he softens your hard heart and makes you be dissolved under his goodness toward you, if he brings home to you the mercy whereby you are made to differ from the world at large, and in many other ways, he gives you to taste real happiness, permanent. The hymn writer says, happiness, thou lovely name, where's thy seat? Oh, tell me where. Honor, learning, wealth, and fame all cry out, it is not here. As I said, it is not to be found in any earthly source whatever. Men shall be blessed in him. When God begins to deal with the poor sinner, he does not feel happiness at the first, as a rule. Because when he, the Spirit of Truth, is come, he shall convince the world of sin. And when a poor sinner is made to feel, as all sinners taught of God are made to feel, if my soul is sent to hell, thy righteous law approves it well. If you realize you're a poor, miserable sinner before God with whom you have to do, and maybe before his holy law, you are hearing what the law saith to the sinner under it. Pay me that which thou owest. Righteousness to full perfection must be brought, lacking naught, fearless of rejection, and you cannot produce a stitch of it. And there you are, helpless under the law, and hopeless before God as he is revealed in the law. For the law can only declare, cursed is the man that continueth not in all things written in the book of the law to do them. Aye, but our subject is, men shall be blessed in him. I've already told you, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone which believeth. And a poor sinner who wants to taste that happiness when men are blessed in him, the Spirit of God leads them from being under the law to be before Calvary's cross. And there, with the eye of faith that God gives, they see Jesus. And they see in him all their salvation, all their desire. And happiness springs up in their breasts as they realize there is help in God, hope in God, healing to be known and felt for their poor sin-sick soul, and that they may be made holy and fit for heaven. And all because men shall be blessed in him. The last H is home. Men shall be blessed in him with a home. And now, if you are a sinner born again, I'll leave the if with you. I'm just telling you the truth and what saith the Scriptures. If you are a sinner born again, you will want a spiritual home. You will want to find a place where the people of God gather together to worship him aright, and you will want to be amongst them and to feel that you are by the grace of God made one of them. You will want a spiritual home. Long years ago, 56 or 7 years it might be, when I used to take a Sunday school class at Tamworth Road, Croydon, which was a very large Sunday school of about 250 scholars, it came to my turn to open the school. I'd never done so before, and I've never forgotten the hymn that I was helped to give out. I have a dear and happy home, and much my home I love. But is there now prepared for me a better home above? Men shall be blessed in him. The psalmist says elsewhere, listen, be thou my strong habitation, whereto I may continually resort. And I have a happy remembrance in my own life about 10 years ago when God blessed me with a Jabez portion, as I humbly hope, and I felt near to heaven itself. and words which are very familiar to you were made very precious to me in my own soul's feelings. O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, our shelter from the stormy blast, and our eternal home. I said to my dear wife, in the feeling of it, my dear, if you find I am no longer with you, I believe I should be in heaven. I should like to feel like that again. But that is what I mean, meant you'll be blessed in him with a home. And you see, it is not only a home as you're journeying through life, and to realize God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble, therefore will not we fear. But there is another hymn, not in our book, I wish it was. There is a blessed home beyond this land of woe, where trials never come, nor tears of sorrow flow, where faith is lost to sight, and patient hope is crowned, and everlasting light its glory throws around. That is a beautiful picture of the rest that remaineth for the people of God. And when you are drawing near to the end of life's pilgrimage, it is a wonderful mercy if you have within your heart a solemn persuasion. Ye are travelling home to God, in the way your fathers trod. They are happy now, and ye hope their happiness to see. And men shall be blessed in him, blessed with a hiding place, healing, help, holiness, happiness, and a home. A home beyond words to describe, beyond this description which you cannot better, where, if you are blessed in him, you will dwell forever with him where he is and see him as he is. And now, there is just one other thought I want to put into words. Men shall be blessed in him. And now when you are blessed in him, it will be your concern that you shall be made a blessing in your everyday life. And your concern will be to live unto him and live for him and ever speak well of him as every opportunity arises for you to do so. And men shall be blessed in him. Go back to what I said at the outset. Every eye shall see him. You and I will see him. You and I will hear, either come ye blessed, or depart ye cursed. The Lord help you to have sure work in your heart, your conscience, which of the two welcomes it will be. Every eye shall see him. And now, when Aaron came forth after he was appointed and anointed as Israel's high priest, when he was instated in his office, he came forth and pronounced a blessing upon all Israel assembled at that time. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. And now there were 2 millions of Israel's hosts. But while they all heard what Aaron said, the Lord bless thee and keep thee, I'm afraid the great majority of them had no concern at all to be blessed. But there were some who were Israelites indeed. And when they heard those wonderful words, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. In their hearts they responded, like Jabez, long years afterward, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. And I conclude with this thought. If you, dear young people, have a feeling like that in your heart, Jesus will not your cry forget. You shall obtain the blessing yet. Men shall be blessed in him. Amen.
Hymn number 9. As with gladness men of old did the guiding star behold, as with joy their herald's light lean onward, beaming bright, so, most gracious God, may we evermore be dead and living.
Thank you.
grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God the Father, the communion of the Holy Spirit be upon us, and upon all who love the truth everywhere. Amen and amen.